9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Tal and Wine. Got something you need to complain about. Today's the day to do it. I don't think Buckeye asked you in the first hour. Normally I do that, and I didn't. Anything you need to get off your chest today? Good? Life good for you? Nothing that's bothering you?
Yeah, now it's the possibility of somebody playing two different characters in a comic book universe. That's my kind of standing whine. But otherwise, no, not bad.
Okay.
Things going well.
Okay. I felt a little like John Butchergrass, ESPN, a little biased toward Winnipeg. Maybe that's just, that's my Avs fandom coming out. I don't know.
That's your bias.
That's my bias.
That's your ingrained biases.
My perceived bias.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Of John Butchergrass. Seems like a good fella. Nice guy. Veteran ESPN guy. But I just kind of felt that way. Kendrick Perkins. Shut up. I'm tired of him.
Yeah, that one, I'm done.
Complain about Reggie Miller being biased toward the Nuggets. Oh, he just wants the Nuggets to win. I thought Reg was really good the other night.
I thought he was too.
Yeah. If you're a Lakers fan, you have a gripe of why didn't you foul? Why weren't they fouling Murray at the end of the game? What was going on with that? I think if you're a Lakers fan. If you're a Nuggets fan, no, it's great. Yeah. Worked out perfectly. Came back from 20 down. All right, 9:02. And we'll have another Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia question coming up sometime this hour. But it's time to talk a little CSU Rams football with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
With us right now, Brian Roth. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I haven't been on with you guys in a while, so I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest on this Wine About a Wednesday.
I'm sure you do. Let's just start with that. It's like, you know, this is your hour of time. Like, you know, like we're therapists here. So you paid for the full hour. So
airing your grievances.
Maybe we're not going to go. We're not probably going to go a full hour, but where do you want to start? Brian, go.
All right. For some reason, I am completely triggered by Anthony Davis's pink shoes.
They trigger you.
I'm triggered by Anthony Davis's post-game wardrobe, by his complaining and crying, and just triggered by the Lakers crying in general about the officiating.
LeBron in particular. Of course, that's LeBron's. That's what LeBron does, though.
And then, of course, you know, last year after the Nuggets sweep him, of course, he goes in the press conference and I don't know if I'm going to be back.
and he
knew he was coming back.
Of course.
You know, and it's just the way it's the Laker way, I guess.
I guess so. Okay, that's one thing. What's next?
Well, I think John Butchergrass, who I really like, Bucci should be in the studio and Steve Levy should be calling the games. My opinion.
Butchergrass is okay, but I agree. Bucci's more of a studio guy.
I love him. And he's a big proponent of college hockey. And of course, he was calling the Frozen Four. And obviously, DU won it. And just the more I listen to John as a play by play guy, he's good. He's good, but Steve Levy is a hockey play-by-play guy, one of the top-level ones in my mind, and Bucci is, again, more of a studio guy.
I agree. The Buckeye Boy, we had the comments about the we that was being used a lot in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, the color guy for Boston during the BU game was said we a lot.
What's this we stuff? What is this?
Yeah, so the funny, I didn't see the semifinal game because I was at a youth sporting events across Northern Colorado, but there's no we on a national broadcast, and I'm a little weary of it on vocal broadcasts as well, even for former players, because I have Adam Nygaard as a former guard for CSU as my basketball analyst, Ricky Brewer, former Ram linebacker. Certainly the Rams, they're associated with the program, but they're still not in that locker room in that given year. So it's we bothers me. But on a national broadcast, we should never come out of anybody's mouth unless you're talking about both of you up in the booth.
Absolutely. Spot on that. It drives me nuts. I don't like we in any broadcast situation, regardless. Yeah. I think it's, unless you're talking about you and your broadcast partner, we're in the booth. Other than that, yeah. No. I don't play for the team.
We didn't see it from up here, but the official had a better view of it. Right?
That's like perfectly that. Accurate, appropriate, the good use of the English language. I mean, when you're, we've got to get a touchdown here. Well, they have to get a touchdown. You're describing it up here in the booth. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, before we talk about the spring game, Broncos, new uniforms, your reaction?
I don't know. Maybe I'll like them better when they get on the field. I mean, I think if you watched and looked at social media on Monday when they came out, and then, of course, they announced the throwback uniforms. I mean, the amount of people that just wanted to go back to, they put out the 1977 uniforms. I mean, those things are perfect. I was hoping they'd bring back the sky blue. It's the navy blue. And just kind of go back to that sky blue and that orange and the classic Broncos. And maybe it's just because that's what I grew up with. Although, I was 25 when I was 23 when they changed the uniform. So, and they've been around just long enough. But, I've got to see them. But it seems so simple to give the fan base what they wanted, and yet they just couldn't do it. For whatever reason it was, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, the pictures of Sertan in the throwback. I mean, it just looks so classic, so good. It's, I love those, the stripes on the socks. Just that uniform is perfect. It's, I wish they would just go with that and stay with that.
So somebody photoshopped that, I saw it on Twitter, where it's the old school uniforms, and it was actually of Justin Simmons wearing it, where they said the alternative uniforms could be just the sky blue, old school blue, and the old style uniforms, and make it blue tops, blue bottoms. And there's a Photoshop picture of Justin Simmons in it, and it looks as good as a uniform can possibly look. I think they missed it. Easy one. I think they missed the low-hanging fruit because they probably paid some creative marketing company, $1 million to redesign them.
The orange jersey, white pants looks fine. It's okay. The orange on orange is absolutely hideous. It looks like a traffic cone. It just looks terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
We'll see what they look like, when you get them in person and when you watch them on TV or if you're at the game. And maybe we'll all come around to it. Maybe we will. But it just seems like there's just a big missed opportunity.
All right, Brian Roth with us today. So one last Broncos thing before we talk Rams. Zach Wilson, now a Denver Bronco. Hey, for those, they're probably going to try to encourage him to wear three. So people can save some money on their Wilson jerseys. I would like to think that's what Denver will try to encourage. And so he'll feel loved by somebody, outside of,
and not have to change hey, three, you suck.
Moms and aunts, which he apparently has an affinity for, that he'll feel like he's got some fan support with all those Wilson jerseys in the stands.
That is funny. I have not thought about that. Look, you got to have warm bodies in the quarterback room, right?
Right.
So may as well take a flyer to see if a reset for Zach Wilson. I mean, again, he was the number two quarterback in the draft a few years ago, or the number two overall pick and number two quarterback in the draft for good reason. He had talent, but of course, it's always a crapshoot. Maybe, just maybe, he comes here and a reset and. All of a sudden it clicks. I'm not counting on that, but maybe you can hope for it. But I think it was the middle of the season last year when I said I think Jared Stidham could be the starting quarterback for the Broncos coming up next year. And right now that's still lining up.
Yeah, your prediction is still very much in line right now. There's still a chance that could happen. You never know. Yeah. Who do you think?
And I'm disgusted by it, but yes.
but that's your prediction is.
Yeah.
Who do you think they take tomorrow?
Oh man, I who knows? I don't know if they have enough draft capital to move up and get a top tier quarterback. I can see them sliding back and taking, Bo Nix or even taking a Michael Penix later and moving back to get him. But you've got to draft a quarterback. And you have to. I mean, you need young guys in here, and maybe you hit on a Penix in the second round and he turns out to be really good. But it's just such a crapshoot. As that quarterback draft from a few years ago with Zach Wilson in it clearly says. I mean, what, the 5 first round draft picks from a few years ago, 4 of them are on different teams.
Yeah.
It's only Trevor Lawrence is on the same team. So, I mean, nobody knows who's going to turn out to be a good player. But the fact of the matter is the Broncos need dudes in that quarterback room.
They need dudes everywhere. And one of the places they need dudes, in my opinion, is tight end. Dallin Holker could be one of those dudes. I think if Denver can get Dallin Holker, I think that would – I mean, Brock Bowers is great. But Dallin Holker would be, I think, an absolutely great pickup for the Broncos if they can draft him this weekend.
Well, it would be fun. And of course, I was hoping a couple of years ago that the Broncos would go with Trey McBride. They didn't. And then in the third round, they took Greg Dulcich, and who looked pretty good when he was actually on the field. But therein lies the problem. He's never on the field. And, his career's up in smoke, essentially. So I would love to see a Colorado State tight end out there playing for the Broncos.
That'd be fantastic. We'll see if that happens this weekend. So the spring game was last weekend. Mother Nature wasn't exactly cooperating with the best weather day over in Fort Collins last weekend for the spring game. But it was the ones, the green, against the world, the white. And as Jay Norvell likes to do this, he gives the world team the 21-0 lead. It ended up being, 28-17 in the scrimmage. But the ones outscored the backups 17-7. Just, I know there was a lot of offensive linemen that did not play in that game, in the spring game. I know that Jay Norvell, according to the Denver Post, said it was a little tough to get much offensive continuity in that game because of a limited number of offensive linemen available. But your takeaway, Brian, from what Rams fans had the chance to watch with the spring game.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the weather was awful, and it's too bad because it's back-to-back years in which the weather wasn't very good at the spring game. And, that happens, and certainly it cut back on some of the fan base coming out and being able to get, a sneak peek of the 2024 Colorado State Rams. And take the game for what it is. I mean, it's basically a scrimmage that the Rams had and used as their 15th practice. And I know they, put some window dressing on it with the scoring and all of that stuff, but really you can't take much of anything out of that game other than the fact that the Rams stayed relatively healthy. There was a couple of guys that went down, but nothing serious and certainly nothing to anybody that's projected to be in the starting lineup or even the two deep. So that's first and foremost the thing you want to come out of a spring game with is health, and health's for key guys. But so many players were not playing. And of course, Torrey Horton, he was out there returning punts on non-live special team stuff, but Torrey Horton's not out there. You mentioned the offensive line. A bunch of offensive linemen were out. Justin Marshall, who came on to the end of the season at running back and averaged over 100 yards per game the final 3 games. He's going to be the number one guy at running back. He did not play. And so, so many guys across the board that were out. It's really hard to take anything from that. First team offense did not look very good. Braden Fowler-Losey did not look very good, but again, comes with the caveat that you just didn't have a lot of guys. But, it's a Colorado State team that, as you look at them going into the summer and into the fall, they have some weapons on offense. 3 returning offensive linemen are back. Again, you get Justin Marshall back. You get Braden Fowler-Losey, a kid who threw for over 3,400 yards last year, 22 touchdowns. He certainly has to clear up some of those mistakes. He threw for an FBS high 16 interceptions last season. Cannot have a repeat performance of that here this year, but there's some pieces in place to be excited. Now, obviously, the portal opens again. It opened, I think, last Monday, 9 days ago, for the spring portal. And see who you lose, see who you bring in. And hopefully you just don't sustain any major losses in the portal. You can't lose one of your top dudes going into the summer.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Of who did kind of stand out in the scrimmage in the spring game, Brian? Was there a player or two that kind of caught your eye when you were out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of guys. I really like the backup quarterback for Colorado State, Jackson Brousseau. He's a kid from Lehigh, Utah. He's a redshirt freshman, 6'4". I mean, he won back-to-back state championships at the highest level in the state of Utah, was a state champion in baseball, an all-state basketball guy. I mean, you watch him play. I don't expect Braden Fowler and Nicolosi to struggle this year, but if for some reason he does, I think Jackson Brousseau is a really good quarterback that Colorado State has on the number two spot, and the coaching staff absolutely loves him. So he's a guy to kind of keep your eye on as we move forward. Damian Henderson was a four-star running back coming out of high school last year, played in a couple of games. He's going to be the number two guy, I think, behind Justin Marshall. Both those guys are now going to be redshirt freshmen. He's one of those guys that has big-time ability. And then a guy in Donovan Ollie, a wide receiver, transfer from Cincinnati, big body, 6'3", 215 pounds, and really a guy that didn't play a ton at Cincinnati last year, but the previous 3 years he was at Washington State and had well over 1,000 yards receiving. He had two touchdowns against the Rams in a game against Washington State 2 years ago up in Pullman. Just another target for Colorado State. Then on the defensive end, linebacker Boom Jock wears number 49 and played last year as a true freshman at 34 tackles, looks the part, 6'4", 230 pounds. His parents are originally from Africa. They moved to the United States. He grew up in Minnesota. And I think he's one of those guys, Jim, that has a big year this year. CSU is going to have a hard time holding on to him. He's that type of guy. You look at him, and he's a Power 5 body. So Boom Chalk, number 49, is the guy to watch out for on the defensive end.
All right, very good. Hey, Brian, always appreciate it. Talk to you again soon. Thanks, man.
All right, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right. Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams. Give us a little breakdown from the spring game.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports. Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
.921, Jim and the Buckeye Boy, Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Some thoughts about the Avs win last night. 4 goals in the second period. And none of the goals last night came from Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. Boy, Carr took a shot with the blade of the stick right in his mouth last night.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the bench, came back onto the ice not all that long after that, but man, he took a shot right under his visor. But Makar didn't score a goal last night. Mikko Rantanen, it was Miles Wood again with a goal. Back-to-back games where he scored a goal for the Avalanche. Josh Manson, Arturi Lehkonen. The choo-choo train scored last night, but it was the other guys, those other secondary scores, they came up big for the Avalanche. And probably most notably, Alexander Georgiev came up huge last night. A lot of those high-danger chances that he was able to stop last night, which he did not stop in Sunday's game. So, big win for the Avalanche, 5-2 last night. And they now have tied that series up at 1 game apiece. And, of course, Game 3 coming up Friday night right here on the Team Sports Network. Nuggets have the 2-0 lead. They'll take on the Lakers at crypto.com tomorrow night right here on the Team. All right, 9:23. And still this hour, another chance playing catch up since the other day we didn't get in Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Another chance to win coming up in just a little bit for that. So make sure you stick around. So it's time to dive into some four-down territory.
We're into four-down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. Hopefully I'm not stealing ones that you have.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Reggie Bush?
Yep. You want some? Take them. I got time to find some.
I don't have to have them. I can find something else.
Well, you are going first, so you can take it. That would make for weird radios.
No, I just grabbed something else very quickly, because I've got something. I've got other things too. But anyway, Reggie Bush has been fighting for years to get his Heisman Trophy back, and it's finally going to happen. The Heisman Trust expected to announce that his 05 Heisman Trophy has been reinstated. The decision was made in part because of the enormous changes in the college football landscape. So Bush will have his Heisman Trophy return. A replica will be given to USC, and he'll once again be invited to all the future Heisman Trophy ceremonies starting next season. And Bush said in a statement to ESPN, "Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners, be part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization." Now he can actually go to the Heisman House.
Oh, yeah?
He can actually be in the commercials. I know it's not Monday. It's not a good call, bad call. Is that a good call to give it back to him? I think, considering how the landscape's changed, yeah, I think that's fair.
Oge
didn't have to give up his Heisman after he went to prison. They didn't ask for his Heisman back.
Gosh, this puts me in a weird spot. OJ didn't break any rules that the Heisman Trust had in place when he won his Heisman. He broke laws later, allegedly. Reggie Bush broke rules that were in place while winning his Heisman.
Fair point to make.
You know, like,
it's fair.
Just because the landscape has changed doesn't mean those rules now never existed, I guess, is where I come down. But also, it's been 20 years. Who cares? Who really cares? Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. Great.
I get what you're saying. And it's probably not fair to make the comparison of OJ going to prison for kidnapping somebody and theft, and he didn't violate the Heisman Trust and their rules. And obviously that did happen with Reggie Bush.
Right.
I'm in the mindset, I'm okay with it. I'm fine. I understand where you're coming from. I don't disagree. But now that 20 years has ticked off the clock, is it really that big of a deal anymore? This is not like Pete Rose being reinstated so he can manage again or something like that.
But it's a weird spot, because do you then try, what do you do now for SMU? Because that stuff's all legal now. You essentially killed that football program.
You destroyed their program.
And it took them 30 years to come back from that. What do you do to help that?
I guess one thing is the Heisman Trust. The other is the NCAA. The two things are not the same. And what the Heisman Trust has done is not going to be reflected by what the NCAA... I mean, what's the NCAA other than financial compensation to SMU?
Right.
There's no way you can fix that. And I don't know what you...
What I mean is the Heisman's using this. Well, now it's fine. That's where it's weird for me. Like, it's probably not a
good policy. I agree with you on that. It's probably not a good protocol. Well, that's okay now to have contact with, to be paid for endorsing things and play on pay-to-play, basically.
Ohio
and stuff
State's
like that.
Wins get reinstated because they got gold pants trinkets for beating Michigan.
Which I still find laughable.
You know,
they got dinged for that.
Do now they have to come out and do an ad read for the tattoo shop they got the free tattoos from, because it's legal now if you do it that way. It's a Pandora's box for me, and I guess once you start, where are you going to stop?
But once again, these are two separate bodies, though, with the Heisman Trust and the NCAA. Mm. Could the NCAA take a page from what the Heisman Trust is doing? No, they probably won't. They're not going to go back and try to fix it. Which, unfortunately, not so much for Ohio State. That sucked, and that was a terrible thing that happened. But SMU, it destroyed their football program.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroyed it.
A pretty successful program at the time.
Where did they have it coming during that period of time? Yeah, because they did things that were outside of the rules and regs of the NCAA with Eric Dickerson, Craig James, and that group. They got a lineman to come from Pennsylvania because they told they were going to get a job for his dad in Pennsylvania. They've had a place to get him a job. And that's how they got a lineman to go to SMU.
Which is less corrupt than just paying the family.
Exactly. Well, apparently there was some financial compensation to the company that was going to hire this guy.
It's the college football in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. All right, second down. Now that the NBA's exclusive negotiating window with current TV partners ESPN and TNT came in without the league reaching a new deal, that means NBC can maybe jump back into carrying NBA basketball. They haven't had the NBA since 2002. It's been that long. So, do you mind potting the music down for just a moment? Could we have a return, possibly, of this? As much as we love the ESPN hockey theme and was glad that it came back when ESPN got hockey again, how cool would be to have Round Ball Rock with John Tesh?
That'd be pretty good.
This is a great song. We'll see. Maybe that happens down the road. Maybe NBC gets back to carrying the NBA, or it was for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm reading here. So I was trying to find.
It's okay.
Find something useful here.
Did I take both of yours?
No comment. This is from the get-ups after the Nuggets went up 2-0 yesterday. Tim Legler had some interesting analysis on the Lakers and their chances in the Western Conference. Maybe.
Possibly.
Okay, well, we're not going to get the sound there. Anyway, Legler says, as Anthony Davis is this dominant and this aggressive, absolutely the Lakers have enough to beat any team in the Western Conference. Except the Nuggets.
Except the team they're playing right now.
That's not really going to help.
Which means that Which means Denver's the best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, pretty much.
There we go. So
to be fair, that's not going to help if they can't beat the Nuggets.
It's great. The one team that they can't beat is the one that they'd have to beat. There's the one they're losing to right now.
Yeah,
they're better than everybody else except the one that they're losing to.
Indeed. Remember when Dan Lanning said the CU Buffaloes are fighting for clicks and everybody got all upset about it except for people who kind of know what Deion's all about and
right.
They realized that he's right? Well, Cormani McClain, remember him?
I do.
He's into the transfer portal and he says in a YouTube video, now he can't be taken out of context, can't be misquoted because he says it right into the camera. I feel like I just don't want to play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players. Well, having watched CU this last year, I spot no lies.
As giddy as everybody's been, including me at times, about Coach Prime, that I think he makes a valid point.
It's always interesting. It's never boring. They got worse as the season went along. They didn't get better.
And Cormani McClain, who was top cornerback recruit, was expected to pair with Travis Hunter, and that never happened. Then I remember he wasn't getting playing time, and Deion is like, well, he needs to basically show up to meetings and put the work in. And you're thinking, okay, if that is the case, he's not putting the work in, then I can get why he's not playing.
But also, if the meetings are just a look at me, I'm Coach Prime Love Fest, and it's all for TikTok and YouTube. What's the point of going to them anyway?
And that's the thing we don't know, but it sure sounds like that might be part of the problem.
Because now these kids that are like, I'm following Coach Prime, I'm doing all this, I love me some Dion. Now they're realizing that, now the Dion show is exactly what you're getting. It's Dion, it's YouTube, it's you. There's nothing private you have with the coach. He's going to sell you out if he needs to. And this is where we're at.
And I know what, like 17 players have left.
Yeah.
And actually 21 players have hit the portal. To me, to update that, it's 21 players. Mm-hmm. And I remember, if I'm paraphrasing, but Dion kind of made the comment, well, these are guys that weren't really going to be doing much for us anyway. Well, where does Dylan Edwards fit into that? Because Dylan Edwards is transferring.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the portal yesterday.
Cormani McClain. Like you've...
And Cormani McClain. Edwards was their standout running back last year, led them in rushing as a freshman.
Can you really afford to lose all of the good players you had last year and replace them with unknowns and all of the bad players you had last year?
And on Thursday last week, Sanders saying Dylan's a tremendous asset. We're going to get the ball to Dylan in all forms and facets. Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator,
taking that ball somewhere else,
is going to do a great job of getting the ball where he needs to get the ball on the go. Apparently it will be, though, with somebody else.
That's on the go is the key statement there.
On the go to another program.
Yes.
I mean, you can sit there and, you know, if you're Dion and say, well, these guys weren't going to contribute. But Dylan Edwards was your future at running back, your present and your future. You just don't get to go, well, yeah, he didn't really matter. He was your leading rusher last year.
Right.
Which they didn't run the ball very well. So it's, he had 321 yards. So it's not like he lit it up over, you know, almost 2,000 yards.
Buffs boosters, Buffs alums, Buffs fans, former Buffs players. Just be prepared to be blamed for all of the wrong when Dion leaves. Because not once in the last 15 months has a player leaving been Dion's fault. Or the coach's fault. Or the show, the Prime show. None of it has been his fault. It's always the players just aren't cut out for this.
He's such an enigma because he'll say things that are very old school, and like the players that were going to class that were not paying attention, and he called them out. You know, initially at the Cormani McClain thing, young man, he's put the work in. Things you expect a football coach to say and try to set a good example and be a leader.
Yeah.
And then there's the other, and I'm sorry, other people are trying to defend the whole Shadur Shiloh thing going to Paris for Fashion Week. Well, it wasn't that big of a deal. It doesn't look good, though. And I get it, some of the work, it wasn't like they missed a whole lot of anything when they weren't there, but it gives a bad look. And you talk about Cormani McClain with clicks as opposed to with checking out things on the internet. Is there also the other kind of click there as well if you're one of Dion's kids buddies?
Oh, click with a Q?
Yep. Click with a Q?
100%.
Is there that
there
problem
has to be
too? I think that there seems to be that problem as well.
And just like Mean Girls, it can come and go with a snap of a finger, whether you're on the approved list or not.
Yeah, I just, we're just going to see how this goes.
Poorly.
They won four games last year. That was great that they won more than one game.
And
they were more competitive. That's great.
I don't know if they've gotten any better.
They've gotten better on the offensive line. I just don't know. But I would think. But I don't know that for certain. On paper, with all the transfers.
Yeah.
With the Seton kid, the top tackle, you know, as far as high school tackles go, coming in. It looks promising. And they've got Travis Hunter there. They've got Shadur there.
But what the Cormani McClain thing tells me, it gives me hope. Because we're all worried about what NIL is going to do to college sports, right? Like, it's ruining college sports. And kids are going to just go get paid there and that's the whole thing. Cormani McClain wants to play and lead and win. And he left the NIL mecca of Dion Shadow to go wherever. Now, I understand he may get a go to Oregon, who's on his, you know, top five, and get a nice thing there from Nike or whatever.
He'll be fine, probably.
But, like, he doesn't want to be a part of the click nature. According to what he said, he doesn't want to just fight for clicks. He wants to play and lead and develop. And when you're leaving the program as a cornerback coached by maybe the best cornerback ever to play football, and you say you want to be developed,
that's troubling.
That's not good. That is not good at all. That is troubling, like you said.
And when you have, and with Deion's son, Deion Jr., his brand team, the Amazon show, it's fine to want to be progressive in terms of reaching out to recruits through social media, through interaction, so they get to know you. I get that and understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. But when that becomes the number one thing, when that becomes the top of the list front burner thing for you, which that's kind of seems to be the case here, that's a concern.
Deion feels very much, look at all I'm doing to help you, instead of what can I do to help you?
And I know there are players that he has actually truly helped. But there's also this
there's also over 100 players that are like, I'm out of here.
And I get it when he walked in the door, when there was the, if you don't want to come here and compete, and then we talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
With if you don't want to come here and compete, and if you want to leave, and I don't think either of us had a huge problem with that.
It's putting all those kids on camera that I had a problem with.
Yeah, and then that, and then the spring game where you had a guy like Montana Lamonius Craig, who, one of your top returning receivers, a guy that stayed there, worked his butt off.
And you couldn't you use him this last year?
Well, you didn't. I get it. They had talent at the wide receiver position, but he couldn't have helped you. He ended up coming up with, of course, big catch for Arizona.
Is there such a thing as, man, we have too many guys here?
No.
Because they didn't have enough of those too many guys last year.
Whether it's Deion Sanders or Sean Payton, guys that have impressive resumes, one as a player, Hall of Famer, one as a coach with a Super Bowl win. Could be a Hall of Fame coach someday, and Sean Payton, possibly. You want to believe that they know exactly what they're doing and they're handling things the right way. But there still has to be room where you can appreciate the good things about what they do and what they bring to the table. But also, it doesn't mean you get a pass on every single thing just because of who you are. Deion Sanders being prime time.
Yeah.
Sean Payton being on TV, winning a Super Bowl, being being Drew Brees' coach, and having a movie about him with Kevin James, about him getting suspended, though, for Bountygate.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching a flag football team. I just think there has to be room for criticism here when the criticism is warranted.
Agreed.
You just don't get to go all the time, well, he's perfect and we're okay with everything he does. We do too much of that these days. Or it's, he's great, and if you don't believe in him, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. You need to believe in everything that he does as a coach.
And nor should we go the other way.
Right, and crap on him for every single thing. We don't like a guy, and so, like, we're Kendrick Perkins or the Nuggets now, we're going to crap on everything involving them because we got some axe to grind there.
And I have a lot of fun at Sean Payton's expense. The team was better this last year.
It was better.
You know, and that's something that's undeniable because he added 60% more wins to the ledger.
Right.
And for Deion, there's some good things that he does.
They improved from a 1-4 win team, and they were competitive in the majority of their games.
Right. But also, there's, like you said, there's nuance, and there's capable thinking to go, it's good that he's making them go to class and try their damnedest to pass the class. It is not good that all of this other stuff is involved with it.
Yeah. Has he made CU better in terms of win-loss, national profile, money in the coffers? Check, check, check. Yes, yes, yes.
That national profile is coming backwards because.
But now it's
as far as I know, ESPN's not going to be there Saturday.
No, they are not. And you know, not that you expected them to be there every single time, but certainly it's you go from here.
That's the expectation that was set, though.
Every year, ESPN's going to be there. Chris Fowler's going to be there.
Yeah.
That's not the case. Mark Johnson will be there.
Mm-hmm. And Fowler might be there, but he won't be working.
Right. And we'll have Mark on with us tomorrow. Of course, we'll have the Buffs game on Saturday at 1 o'clock, their spring game. I just think you have to find a way of evaluating people and what they do. And they're not perfect all the time, but they're also not imperfect all the time. Mm-hmm. But you can't always be, well, how dare you criticize him? Look what he's done. Okay, but he's done some
things. What has he done?
There's been things that have not worked out, though, in the case of Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm. And for all the rights and wrongs, as a football coach at the state school, you're there to win. You can graduate players. You can have GPAs out the wazoo. Everybody goes off into the world with a degree and no felonies and no misdemeanors. You're there to win.
What should be the number one thing?
It absolutely should be, but it's not.
The things you just laid up, we know that's not reality.
Yeah.
It's about, are we in the college football playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Are we winning a conference championship?
That's why they're going to the Big 12. It's not because, well, Deion's going to graduate a lot of players. Well, he might graduate them. They're going to be at different schools, though, because they're going to either be like, I'm done with this, or they're not going to start at CU. They're not going to be there four years.
One other thing, since Dylan Edwards is going, former Ohio State running back Dallin Hayden has committed to the Buffaloes. 2 years at Ohio State, 3 years of eligibility left. Rushed for 663 yards, 6 touchdowns in his time with the Buckeyes.
He's a good little player.
Good little player. So, well, he's going to be a good little player for the Buffs now, apparently.
Yeah. It'll be a little easier for Dallin because not as much defense played in the Big 12 as there is the Big 10.
Well,
so.
Also, one other note, that Colorado's football season opener is going to be played 2 days earlier than they originally scheduled it. Buffs announced Monday the opener against North Dakota State will be on Thursday, August 29th. It was originally slated for August 31st. Still have yet to work out the TV time. Of course, we'll have that over on 1100 KNZZ. So it'll mark CU's first Thursday game since September 3rd, 2015 at Hawaii. It'll also be their first Thursday home game since October 11th, 2012 against Arizona State. All right, so there you go. 9:46, and it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, so we get into the DeLorean and go back to 1945, Albert B. Happy Chandler, junior senator from Kentucky, is elected baseball commissioner by unanimous vote of the Major League club owners. Chandler's elected to a 7-year term and succeeds Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who died in 1944. In 1963, Bob Cousy ends his 13-year career by scoring 18 points as the Boston Celtics won their 5th consecutive NBA title, beating the Lakers 112-109 in Game 6. Also on this day, 1974, Tampa, Florida is awarded the NFL's 27th franchise. And 1994, David Robinson scores 71 points to win the NBA scoring title as the San Antonio Spurs in the regular season with a 112-97 win over the Clippers. Robinson, the 4th NBA player to score more than 70 points in a game, edges Orlando's Shaquille O'Neal for the scoring title.
We didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday since we were on the road for Mav Day. Yesterday was the 2 grand slams in an inning day for Fernando Tatis Sr.
Oh.
Yeah, April 23rd, 99.
Very good. All right, we have a final Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia question today, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, and home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam's Plesio Field. The question today, it's a Rockies question. Who holds the Rockies' single-season stolen base record? No guesses on this, by the way. No multiple choice. Plenty of guesses, but no multiple choice. Who holds the Rockies' single-season stolen base record? First correct answer wins. Get that gift certificate to Wrigley Field, 970-242-1340. Who holds the Rockies single-season stolen base record? Get your answer in. Text only, 970-242-1340.
I think he holds it by, like, a lot.
Yeah, he does. He does. And it's not who you think.
He's another remember him Rockies guy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 9:48. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and wrap it up. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots. On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 9:51. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. All right, do we have a winner yet? Okay.
No, we don't.
Okay, so once again, the question today, to win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, who holds the Rockies single-season stolen base record? Not exactly a household name.
No.
You're a Rockies fan. And it's not the guys you would think. At least one in particular that was known for his speed. It's not him. Who holds the Rockies single-season stolen base record? Send in your answer on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Ellie De La Cruz is going to pass him by Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Ellie De La Cruz has 12 stolen bases for the Reds this year. That's more than 9 teams. Teams. Totals.
Right.
Yeah. Including the Colorado Rockies.
The Colorado Rockies. All right, time to open up the lid and hop in. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, this involves a text from Robert. The landscape has changed in MLB, too. We're talking about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. Gambling is the poison seeping into sports. Johnny Damon thinks Pete Rose should go into the Hall of Fame in light of Shohei Ohtani's troubles.
So Shohei Ohtani was scammed out of millions of dollars, and that gets Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Damon,
according to the facts as they are laid out.
Yeah, Johnny Damon was on the on Dan Dockich's podcast.
Oh, jeepers creepers.
On Outkick. He says, well, having $4.5 million stolen from you, I think he would notice it. I just think he's too big for baseball. This is something that nobody wants to deal with, especially at the start of a brand new baseball season. This is a really tough call for everybody. Well, number one, why would he, Johnny, did you watch every single dollar when you played?
Don't you have somebody that looks after all of that?
So it could very well be a case that he did not know.
Like, and if this guy is as much of a con artist as it seems like he was, they're professionals at fooling people.
Now, do I agree? Do I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame as a player? Yes, he probably should be. But I don't know, how do you separate that from Pete Rose, the manager, that gambled on baseball? Which you can't do. Therein lies the problem. Player, yes. Manager, no. Where do you separate the two? Can you do that? I don't know if you can. I just don't know if you can.
Because there isn't a managerial ban, but you can still go back and play. Or you can no longer play because you're banned, but you can manage. It's all-encompassing.
Once again, we have to bring this up. He agreed to this. He signed off on this. Pete Rose did. You don't get to... If he was so certain that he shouldn't be banned from the Hall of Fame, why didn't he fight it harder? Don't have a ton of sympathy for Pete. Sorry. That's our show for today. Back to you tomorrow morning at 7.